Thank you, Matt. Thanks, guys and gal. What an appropriate song. What an appropriate song for this passage of Scripture in John chapter 16 as we come to, again, the last hours before Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, would go to the cross and die for the sins of mankind. These are these last few hours with his disciples. So if you have your bulletins, grab those. If you have your Bibles, grab those. If you have neither, look on the screen. As we today dive in and understand our sorrow. A little while, and you will see me no longer. And again, a little while, and you will see me. So some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this that he says to us, a little while, and you will not see me? And again, a little while, and you will see me. And because I'm going to the Father." So they were saying, "What does he mean by a little while?" We do not know what he is talking about. Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him. So he said to them, "Is this what you're asking yourselves? What I meant by saying a little while and you will not see me, and again in a little while you will see me? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. When a woman gives birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. In that day you will ask me nothing. Truly I say to you, whatever you ask in my Father, in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Now I've said these things in figures of speech, and the hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly from the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I am from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving this world and going to the Father." And his disciple says, "Oh, now you're speaking plainly and not using figures of speech. Now we know that you know all things, and we do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." And Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I'm not alone, for the Father's with me. And I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I've overcome the world." Father, I'm asking for your blessing as we talk about sorrow. And Lord, this will be a message that could spark any number of current, past sorrows that people have experienced. And Lord, I pray that you might use this message to comfort those who are indeed in sorrow. All for your glory and in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm guessing that many of you, if not all of you, can remember a time when you have cried about something. maybe uncontrollably. Maybe it's something that has occurred in your life or someone you love. Maybe a loss of a life. Maybe a loss of a child, which we've experienced quite a bit in this church. Maybe it's a loss of a relationship. Maybe it's a loss of a job. If you haven't experienced sorrow, real sorrow, you will. Now, that's not a threat. Nor do I take joy in sharing that you will experience sorrow. But I know it's true. So the question we have to ask ourselves as a body of people who would say and profess that Jesus is our Lord is, why do I have to sorrow? Where do I go when I'm sorrowful? What can I learn from my sorrow? Now, I believe that this portion of Scripture, and I'm just so thankful that in the sovereignty of God, we're going through this passage. God is so gracious to me personally, as someone who has to preach this stuff, to actually have to experience these things, as this week has been a lot to sorrow about. These men who were with Jesus, in the last hours that they're spending with their Lord and their Savior, Jesus is spending a quality amount of time, and he has done everything as God to tell them to be happy. He said, listen, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And when I go, I will come back for you. That should give you lots of comfort, right? Told the disciples, listen, I'm going to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he will be, the word is alas, or exactly like me. And he will be in you. And you will do greater things than me. That should give them great comfort, right? He tells them, listen, the world's going to hate you. But I will be with you. I mean, these are comforting words. But after all of this, can you believe it? They're still sad. They're still grieving. They're grieving the loss of their Lord. They're grieving the loss of their friend. They're grieving the loss of their Savior. See, Jesus' desire for his disciples is so that they would have joy. And that they would have a complete joy. So what does Jesus do? You know what he does? He addresses their sorrow. He's going to address their sorrow. And he's going to provide an answer for it. And that should give you great comfort this morning. Because you will sorrow. There will be things that will cause you great grief. Maybe you're experiencing right now. So as we look at this passage, I'm going to draw out just three things that I see that God tells us and explains to us about our sorrow. Here's the first thing. If I look at verses 20 through 22, is this. Jesus recognizes that your sorrow is real. Did you hear me? Jesus wanted his disciples to know that their sorrow is real. And he wants you to know that he knows your sorrow is real. Why is this a comfort to his disciples? Why is this a comfort to me? Because he isn't dismissing my sorrow. You know, oftentimes, the easiest thing to do about sorrow is just to tell people to pick up their bootstraps and get on with life. And Jesus doesn't do that. And neither should we. We have hurting people in this church. We have hurting people in this community. And we don't dismiss their sorrow. Because Jesus says their sorrow is real. Look at verse 20 again with me. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. And look at verse 22. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again and your hearts will rejoice. This was a great comfort. I don't know if it was a great comfort to the disciples. I'm guessing it was a comfort to the disciples because it's comforting to me as someone who is a follower of Christ, is that Jesus recognizes my sorrow is real. And Jesus wants you to know your sorrow is real. He's not dismissing it. Whatever you're going through right now, He's not dismissing it. And He wants to help you. Romans chapter 12, verse 15 explicitly tells us as Christians what we are supposed to do. We weep with those who weep. You address the fact that sorrow is real. And you guide people to the one who can help. We don't want to dismiss people's sorrows. Okay? I know it's hard to talk to people. I know it's hard to talk to people who have lost something or someone. And the easiest thing to do is just dismiss it and say, everything's going to be okay. You know, that's right. It will be. But don't dismiss the fact that they are truly sorrowful. Because Jesus didn't. I think we can learn a lot about comforting others when we recognize that sorrow is real. Secondly, found in verses 16 through 19 and also the second part of verse 22, Jesus explains that your sorrow is temporary. Your sorrow is temporary. Look at verses 16 and 19 again with me. A little while, and you will see me no longer. And again, in a little while, you will see me. Some of the disciples said to one another, what is he talking about? A little while. You notice they're focusing on the word little while? It's a big deal for them. Verse 22, I'm going to bring it up again. He says, so also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice. No one will take your joy from you. High point, we need to know. Not only is our sorrow real to our Lord, but He wants us to know that our sorrow is absolutely temporary. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you should take comfort in knowing that your sorrow is temporary. Now, specifically when He's talking to His disciples here, how is this a comfort to them? Because He's going to come back in a little while. Now, I grew up in the South, and even as Zach's talking, he's using the y'alls already. But, you know, I lived in the South, and anytime they would use phrases like, you know, I'll see you in a little while, I mean, literally, that could mean years from now or days or months. I mean, the South talk weird. Amen? Kind of lighten it up here a little bit. When Jesus uses the word little while, that is a great comfort to His disciples because it truly is going to be a little while. That their suffering, the disciples' sorrow, was only going to last for a little bit. Their sorrow was temporary. That gave the disciples great joy. That's why they focused on that word, little while. Jesus uses the analogy of a birth. And though I've never had a baby, nor will I ever, you ladies who have, you could probably look at this illustration that Jesus uses and understand that, listen, when you have a baby, I imagine there's a lot of pain. I mean, it was painful when she was squeezing my hand, but I don't know the pain she's experiencing. I have a hernia. Does that count? I got pain. No, it doesn't count. But if it was so miserable, I'm pretty sure we wouldn't have 5 kids. Maybe. And those of you who have one, I mean, that doesn't mean you have to have more. But he uses this analogy, and I've talked to my wife about this, but there is a sense in which she has forgotten the anguish. And the joy of having a child be born in this world took out all the anguish. She remembers the pain. Remember, sorrow's real. Jesus isn't dismissing the sorrow. He's saying it is real. But your anguish will be turned to joy. So that's all fine and dandy for the disciples. Because, you know, he was going to the cross, and in 3 days he was going to be risen, and he was going to spend 40 days with them. No doubt they were super pumped about this. So now how does this help us? Well, first of all, I believe that the scriptures inspired by God and profitable for all of us, for instructions in righteousness, reproof and correction. So though this passage is for the disciples to give them comfort, I do believe that we can take comfort in knowing that Jesus is telling us our sorrow too is temporary. 1 Peter chapter 1, and if you read 1 Peter, you see a theme over and over about the sorrow and the suffering that Christians were taking part of. And listen to Peter, and again, as we believe that all scripture is inspired for us, he says this, he says, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. These things are going to happen in our lives. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, it says, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Do you listen to God's word as you're sorrowing and you're saying, listen, God, I believe you that my sorrow is temporary. Romans chapter 8. As again, I build this foundation that we as followers of Jesus Christ can take comfort in the scriptures, that Jesus also wants us to know that our sorrow is temporary. In Romans chapter 8, verse 18, really from 18 to 33. Read that whole text. It's about the future hope, the future glory. Jesus says that consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed to us. Follower of Christ, do you know that your sorrow is temporary? Do you believe and trust God's word that it is truly temporary? Now, some of you might say, you know, listen, Greg, I get it. I believe it's temporary, but I can't forget my loss of a child. I can't forget my loss of a family member. I can't forget my... And then listen, I'm not telling you to forget it. I'm not even telling you that you won't sorrow with that loss for the rest of your days on earth. You're saying, Greg, that's no hope. Well, here's the hope. You ready? It's found in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. And it says this. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. If you don't experience the joy of God allowing you to get past the sorrow that you're temporarily receiving, you got to know, follower of Jesus Christ, it won't last. It won't last because there is no more tears in heaven. That's got to be your hope. He's got to be your hope. Jesus explains that our sorrow is temporary. Finally, Jesus shows us that our sorrow is necessary. Not only does Jesus show us that our sorrow is real, he recognizes it. And that's a good thing. Not only does he say that your sorrow is temporary to give you a hope of something that's going to occur, he tells us that our sorrow is necessary. Look at verses 32 and 33 with me again. Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered, each of you to your own home, and you will leave me alone. Yet I'm not alone, for the Father is with me. And I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. But take heart, I've overcome the world. The last thing that I think that he was teaching his disciples is listen. Your sorrow is necessary. Your sorrow is necessary. So, Greg, why is it necessary? So that you might find peace in Jesus. That you will suffer. You will have sorrow. But that you will find your peace in Jesus alone. Some of our sorrow continues because we're still trying to find something in this world. Maybe drugs, maybe alcohol, maybe shopping, maybe any number of things to fill that void of sorrow. And Jesus says, your sorrow is necessary, so it leads you to me. Because the only peace you're going to find is in me. Follower of Christ, your sorrow is necessary. Your sorrow is necessary for the glory of God. For some of you, it's necessary for justification. For God to be able to declare you right, he's using sorrow in your life to lead you to the peace giver. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10 says this. For godly grief, sorrow, produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret. Whereas godly, worldly grief produces only death. Listen, if you're going through something sorrowful, if you're going through something that is causing you such grief, Jesus is telling you, go to him. Repent and turn from the thing you think is going to help you be happy, joyful, and turn to Jesus. Repent of your unbelief that Jesus is Lord, that he is your Savior, that he did die on a cross for your sins. Your sorrow is necessary. And once you realize that, well, then you understand that you know that God knows your sorrow is real. And that God knows that your sorrow is only temporary. But then after that, not only is the unbeliever understanding that their sorrow could lead them to sanctification or justification or salvation, but sorrow is sanctifying. Sorrow is necessary to a believer in Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 48:10, it says this, as I build a foundation on us believers going through sorrow, it says, behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I've tried you in the furnace of affliction. God will bring you through things so that what? You might find peace in him. 1 Peter chapter 3, and again, I told you, if you're suffering, if you have a lot of sorrow, I encourage you to read the letter that Peter writes in 1 Peter, because there is a lot to say in regards to sorrow and suffering, and Peter has the answers. And they're found in Jesus Christ. And I just want to read a passage for you, okay? Just real quick. Blessed be the God of our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven, who by God's power is being kept and guarded through faith and salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, I hope you are. Though for a, what? Little while, if necessary, you will be grieved by various trials. It's the same word used for sorrow, grieved, to be in anguish, to be in uncontrollable sadness. You will be grieved. Why? Why will you be grieved? As soon as I get back there. Well, I'll tell you why. Shoot, I was just going to say it out loud. I want to read the word. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found in the result of the praise and the glory of Jesus Christ. That is why your sorrow is necessary. It produces a genuineness of faith that you go to Jesus for peace. Do you go to Jesus for your peace in sorrow? In Isaiah, it also says that God will take your ashes. He will make beauty for ashes. What a great promise. Brian Albright and I have been meeting with a gentleman. And I just want to illustrate this way in which sorrow can be justifying, leading a man to repentance and salvation. Well, this man, when we started meeting with him, he had any number of problems, as we all do, amen? Drugs, lost his wife, lost his job. I mean, things are just, I mean, this guy is just sorrow, sorrow, sorrow. And as he met with me and Brian at a Starbucks, he began to tell us that he feels like God is punishing him. That he did something wrong. He doesn't want to believe in God because why would God put him through these trials? Listen, God is putting this man through the ringer because eternal life is more important than his temporary. And God uses sorrow to hopefully lead him to justification by the leading of the Holy Spirit. I imagine many of you, some of you, have come to know Christ due to some sort of a trial in your life, some sort of a sorrow in your life, and you realize you could only find peace in Jesus Christ. And acknowledging your sin before a holy God, you place your trust in Him. As far as the sanctifying work, I remember in a June day in 2004, I was working for a company called Dun & Bradstreet. I'd been with that company for 11 years. Sweat, tears, anger, bitterness. One June day, they called me and said, "You've been financially flexed out of the company." I remember just crying. And I'm not a crier. And I remember thinking, what in the world am I going to do? I remember walking upstairs and telling Laura I got the letter, and I just started crying. I felt the immense responsibility I had to, at that time, I think we had 3 or 4 kids, I remember. But I knew I needed to have a job, and I knew I needed to make money, and I was scared. I remember thinking, God, I thought this was your plan all along, that I was going to have a job, go to seminary, you know, go to missions, praise the Lord. What are you doing, God? Here's what God was doing in my life. Dun & Bradstreet wasn't going to be my peace. My job was not going to be my peace. And God had to break me of that. Jesus needed to be my peace. And the sorrow that I had led me to a revelation through the work of the Holy Spirit in my life that Jesus had to be my peace through every sorrow. And I'd like to say that I haven't sorrowed since that day. I have. And I even sorrow today. I sorrow at the loss of what Zach was talking about this morning. And you know what I say? As I told him on Thursday, Jesus is my peace. I trust the Lord. He knows what He's doing. There isn't an emergency meeting going on in heaven saying, "Did you hear? Did you hear? Oh my, we got to help Greg. We got to help High Point. Holy cow, did you know? They're crying down there for crying out loud." No, Jesus said, you know what? They need to go through this so that they might find peace in Jesus. I'm thankful for God's little lessons. Even though I know that sometimes my sorrow might never end until I see the other side of eternity. And that's okay, right? So we close. Has sorrow drawn you to Jesus? Is sorrow drawing you to Jesus? Is what you're going through drawing you to Jesus? Or are you pushing God away? Because if you are, it really shows where your faith really lies. And you need to repent. Listen. Jesus wants you to know some very comforting words. You ready? Your sorrow is real. Your sorrow is temporary. And your sorrow is necessary. And by God's grace, your sorrow will produce in you and through you an ability to give God glory through it. So that He's famous. So that when you go through that, you can say, Jesus was my peace. Jesus is my peace. And I tell you, there is no greater joy than to know that truth. We're going to spend some time in communion. You know, Jesus said we as a church would have joy. But you know what? Part of understanding communion is that they were remembering Jesus' death. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23. Did I give you those verses? I didn't. Well, let me read them. Because I need you to understand that, listen, they understood sorrow. They understood that Jesus died on a cross. In 1 Corinthians 1:23, it says this. It says, "But we preach Christ crucified." And in chapter 2, verse 2, it says this. "For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Jesus had to die. If that doesn't cause you great sorrow that He died for your sins, then do a heart check. He didn't die because of anything He did. He died for us. And He rose again. So as we go to communion, follower of Jesus Christ, as we go to communion, you remember the sorrow of the cross. But that sorrow is turned to joy. When He was raised from the dead. Do you see that? The disciples didn't understand that, but they would. And they would preach it with all their might. That their sorrow would be turned to joy. As they saw Jesus on a cross, and 3 days later He rose again. See, their joy, their sorrow was temporary. Is yours? As you hold that bread, follower of Christ, as you hold that bread, you remember that your sin-filled life cannot take away your sins. That Jesus' perfect body, His perfect life without sin, is the perfect sacrifice for yours. So when you hold that bread, you confess your sins. He is faithful to forgive you. When you hold that juice, you remember that without the blood, there is no remission of sins. Jesus' perfect life does not save you. Jesus' death and resurrection does. So when you hold that cup, you should be rejoicing that through His blood, you have been saved. Now, I'd be remiss to say again, if you're here today and you don't know Christ, you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, ask yourself, where do you find your peace? In the midst of your sin? In the midst of your chaos? In the midst of your sorrow? Where are you finding your peace. And Jesus says, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. For my burden is what? Light. Jesus wants to take that very sin and put it on himself. Will you believe him today? Will you rely on him today? And if so, then freely take communion. Freely take communion. But do not take communion if you don't believe that, because you are taking judgment on yourself. Just think about it for a while. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit's leading you to confess right now. But don't do it because I'm saying it. Do it because God is working on your heart. And then again, for all of us that do know Christ, the ones that do know Jesus and profess him, I'm just asking you to take some time and ask yourself, as you've sorrowed, who do you turn to? And maybe you need to repent of some things, some sins, that you're going to other places for peace. And Jesus is right there saying, come back. Come back. You realize your sorrow was necessary. When you come back to your thing, you take that bread, you take that cup, and you wait. And I'll come back up, and we'll commune together. Jake's going to play a couple songs. And in that time, when you're ready, you go back and get those elements. And you do business with God. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for a message about sorrow. Because we will sorrow. And you recognize the reality that we are, and some of us are in sorrow. But you never leave us there. You provide the very hope from sorrow. And that is you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. And giving me a hope, an eternal life that can never be taken away, has been guarded and is being guarded by God till the day in which you call me home. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.